good morning, good lunchtime, good afternoon, good evening, good however we do it.
All of them.
How you doing, mate?
All of the above. Very well, very well. Time of recording is it's around Easter, so lots of time off to go and do some hobby, which I'm looking forward to, because I need to get motivated and start getting some of these teams painted and built. This tournament season is rapidly creeping up on me, and I'm like, ooh, I don't want to be rushing teams out a week before I'm going. So that's the current plan.
Yeah, makes sense. Yeah, I've nearly finished, hobby-wise, nearly finished making a Norse team for our good friend Adam's birthday that's upcoming, where I'm going to take some for sevens. But, you know, although I only need seven technically for a roster, I've decided to make about 25-30 so I can use them in the future, as I always do. Although I'm not a big fan of these models, it might be one use and done. We'll see. I might end up getting myself a new Norse team.
What team did you go for?
It's quite old school. It's from the old... So I'm using the runners as Valks from an old... they've been around for ages. I honestly can't remember. I've had them in a cupboard.
This is a 3D printing style team.
No, these are all metal from someone years and years ago that I saw and thought I'd like and bought and kind of like one or two of them, but not the others.
Yeah.
Not convinced. But, you know, they'll be good enough for a tournament, and we'll see.
Rubbish, and you won't play them much, so it'll be all right. Couple of tournaments back in the cupboard. Job done.
Yeah.
Lovely. Talking about that, games played. Have you played any games recently?
I've had a couple. I did a Wii Free League game and got a win against our good friend Alex Von Leopard. So needed a turn 15-16 touchdown where I managed to blitz away one player marking, dodged out of another and made it to the end zone. So it was a good tight game. But leaves me in a good spot in that league. I'm second at the moment, and the top two qualify with a little bit of a gap with two games left. So, good chance. It seems that stunty on stunty is a relative strength of mine. I never consider myself the best player, but I'm doing okay in that league. And I got a game in the ECBBL as well against Gumby. He's a member of Team Australia, but taking ogres. And really good game. Managed to stop him scoring in the first half. He's a lovely guy, really, really fun opponent to play against. Managed to stop him scoring in the first half by getting a bunch of players back and getting a one dice pow on one of his ogres that was carrying the ball.
Nice.
Yeah, kind of worked. And then second half, scored maybe a tiny bit earlier than I needed to. I scored, gave him two turns, probably could have given him one, but I'm very nervous about stalling if it's not absolutely solid, and he had a break tackle ogre. And a break tackle ogre can get into a lot of places if it really wants to. So I didn't take the risk. And he made the two-turn touchdown by going about 14 squares in the last turn through a combination of handoffs and chucking teammates and scampering away and getting all the rolls going in the right place. So, it was a great game. Ended 1-1. Really, really enjoyed it. Managed to skill up. All of my Orc Blitzers now have a skill, but I'm struggling to get the big ones skilled up, and getting block on those and make a really big difference.
Just waiting for the MVPs, right?
Yeah, and all the MVPs have gone on the Blitzers, who only need it a bit, if I'm honest, because they're going to be scoring the touchdowns as well.
Yeah.
What about yourself, Rob?
Just the one for me. I had a ECBBL game. I played Dan, also known as Astropolithicus, is what I'm going for. I've completely hashed it, but he's part of the teacher crew. Where they run Blood Bowl clubs at lunch break and stuff. Unfortunately, his school it's looking like it's dying out a little bit. But he was an absolute gem to play against. Super lovely fella. Really enjoyed it. Also, without realising, I played his son at Kent Team Championships. The Duke.
I played him at Kent.
Yeah, nice.
He was my opponent in that game.
Really good, fun to play against. We ended up with a 1-1 draw. I had a bit of inducement money, so I took helmet.
Was that his Norse?
That was his Norse, yeah. So I was late updating my team sheet and forgot to put an MNG Ghoul on there. So got paired up when we were close to a TV. And then once that was updated, I was like, ooh, got a bit of money here. So I've got a little helmet.
Gamey.
It was nice. I can't remember who received. I think I kicked to him, turned him over, didn't put a helmet on, turned him over, scored on his drive. And then he pretty much did the same against me on my drive, managed to turn me over because helmet decided to absolutely bugger me. Blitzed with helmet, needed a dodge out. I was like, he's got probes, fine. Made the dodge, made the two go for it, kick back, one, pro, two, down he goes for a shot at the Blodge Valk, who was just, he managed to just get away with the Valks, and I was like, once that happened, I was like, oh, and then what a surprise, Helmet managed to chainsaw himself into the KO box, so I didn't even have a player really that could hunt it down, so he just sort of piddled about in the back field for a couple of turns and then went in on. Oh no, I think I did get a one dice on him with a ghoul on my turn 16, but it was just a push, so I pushed him into the end zone, so we didn't get a turn 16 to bash my players just out of spite. I was like, take that. but I did get some SPP. I got a couple of Kaz out of it. So I've now got a tackle Mighty Blow White and a Mighty Blow White. So full Mighty Blow on the team now. Starting to feel like the team is developing a little bit now. Because going into this game, this is my game 7. Going into this game, I had a Mighty Blow White and a Block Shorthands Ghoul. And that was the entire skills package of my team.
Yeah, that's not great. I mean, it's better than my Leap Goblin, but it's not great.
Yeah, but now we are actually getting some skills on the team now. Probably at the right time, because I've got some tough coaches coming up to finish off with. I've still got Gumby, Yogi, Corn Knight. And a couple of others as well. I'm just like, oh, yep. I've got Talk as well with his vamps, although it's not been going great for him. But yeah, lots of coaches that I've heard of, know of. It's going to be a challenge, but I'm looking forward to it.
Gumby's 2 SPP away from getting his first block ogre, which is going to make a big difference.
It's fine. The mummies will get in a support and then smack, Mighty Blow. Mighty Blow everywhere. Just going to Mighty Blow the ogres. That's the plan. And hopefully it will help me get rid of all the little guys as quick as possible. If it's just a team of ogres left, I can deal with that. Eventually they'll bonehead. Right, what is today's episode?
We thought we'd do something a bit different, didn't we? There's no news. We're still waiting on gnomes, although this episode isn't going out for a while, so you might hear that and go, God, no, we've had gnomes for ages. We may even record a gnomes episode and put it out before this one actually gets released. You never know. But fingers crossed on that. So no news. We thought we'd talk about some of the best players in Blood Bowl and our opinions on them. And rather than just say A's good, B's good, C's good, we talked about having a little bit of a round robin knockout by comparing players to each other, didn't we, Rob?
Yeah, I think that's a more fun way of going it. I will say that this idea was also put out by one of our recent guests, Adam, Captain Oates, put this to me. I was like, that's a good idea. And I was like, that is a good idea. So we're stealing it very much so, and we're rolling with it. So thanks to Adam for the suggestion.
So I think the way you talked about it was, imagine you had a team of human linemen, which players are going to add the most to that and improve it the most?
Yeah, I think that's the easiest baseline. So I think it's easy to compare players just off of what they do, but then they're quite situational. You can get two very different types of players, like comparing a sort of a frenzy piece to a big guy. They're doing two very different roles. So yeah, I think you just go, you've got a base 11 human linos. What player are you going to take to add to the team?
Both picked our top 8. Yeah, what was it? What was in your top 8, Rob?
Yeah, so I actually had a top 9, and I've dropped one because once we both shared lists, I was like, well, you've got one and I've got the other, and I was like, well, I would like to have the debate. So I went with, these are no particular order, but the Jaguar Warrior Blocker, the strength 4 defensive dodge piece from the Amazon team, Witch Elf from the Dark Elf team, the Elven Union Blitzer, the Bloodspawn from the Khorne team, the Wraith from the Necromantic Horrors team, the Valkyrie from the Norse team, Gutter Runner. I just went generic Gutter, but Jim had a little bit of insight knowledge here that I'll let him go over. And of course, the War Dancer from the Wood Elf team was my top 8.
Okay, I had top 8 as well. So Underworld Gutter Runner, and that's primarily because of the access it gets to mutation. So being able to give it 2 heads, for example, as it develops, just makes it a better player.
Yeah.
War Dancer was in there. Werewolf, the Union Blitzer, the Amazon Blocker. I had the Vampire Runner in there. The Valkyrie was there. And just for a bit of variety, I'm not really sure it's one of the best eight players in the game, but I went for the Union catcher just to have something different to debate. There were some really notable exceptions. You know, a lot of the blitzers are very good. The Dark Elf blitz is really good. Orc blitz is pretty good, actually, with the high armour. Vargeist was one that I considered. Skink was a notable exception to the lineman, but all that speed and stunty is really good. Bloodseeker was on my notable exceptions list, and Slancatcher as well for something a bit different, but those were the eight I went with.
It is interesting that we've not put a stunty on here.
Yeah, like I say, the skink got close because the speed really, really helps it, and it can do a hell of a lot.
Yeah,
you've got to be the best lineman. Got to be the best lineman in the game.
Oh yeah, I think so. I mean, it's not got the strength, but the 3+ dodge in movement 8 is just so you can just get him where you need to be. I think a lot of it will come down to skill access as well. If you just completely ignored the skill tree and you could just give him whatever skill you wanted on a primary, like, oof.
Yeah.
So many of these players are insane. So what we've done is we've got a bracket. So we realised that we had 5 players that shared both of our lists. So they've gone through to the second round immediately. So again, in no particular order, we had the War Dancer, the Valkyrie, the Jaguar Blocker, the Gutter Runner, and the Union Blitzer were on both of our lists. So they've gone straight through into round 2. Our matchups for the first round, we have the Union Catcher versus the Wraith, the Werewolf versus the Witch Elf, which is spicy, and we've got the Vamp Runner versus the Bloodsborne. So I guess we'll start with the Union Catcher versus the Wraith. You went for the Catcher, so I'll let you argue the Catcher's case.
I went for the Catcher, and it, you know, it's all about being a strong strength, relatively strong, player that can move 8 and has the Nerves of Steel, are just a great skill. It is incredibly difficult to stop a 2-turn touchdown against a team that's got more than one of these. As a lone catcher in a team, it's not quite as powerful. You want a pair of them, so they're difficult to both knock down in your backfield, but it makes the stretch play and the 2-turn are really, really easy. They're just so hard to stop scoring. And, you know, as a strength 3 catcher, moving 8, that's pretty solid player.
Yeah, I mean, my argument for the Wraith is, obviously, it doesn't start with a skill, but I think once you get guard on a Wraith, it is just a nightmare. So it's block, foul appearance, sidestep, and it regens as well. And I'm just like, that's nasty. Yeah, starting skills.
I'm pretty happy to accept that the Wraith is probably the better player here. As you say, as it starts to develop, that becomes a hell of a player. It's one, you know, really, really up there as one of the best players in the game.
Yeah, and I think spoilers, obviously, you know, the Gutter Runner and the War Dancer come in that also feel that high movement, high agility spot on the list. So we're both in agreement that the Wraith makes it through to the second round.
I can go with the Wraith. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. The next one is a tough one. I'm not sure which way I'd go between the Werewolf and the Witch Elf.
So the Werewolf, movement 8, strength 3, edge 3, passing 4+, 9+ armor, claws, frenzy, regen. So the frenzy is going to be on both of them. The regen is going to be a slight buff. And then the Witch Elf, slightly worse movement in movement 7, both strength 3, edge 2+, it's a worse passer at 5+, but I don't think we're too worried about that, and armour 8+, so slightly worse armour as well, but dodge, frenzy, jump up.
Yeah, I mean, they're both really good players. I'd lean marginally towards Werewolf. I think the extra survivability and the extra movement are both really, really big buffs.
Yeah,
and
I think the biggest
claws means you can take a lot of stuff down.
Yeah, I think the claws is actually the swinging point in this. And the survivability. Like, witch elves are good, but like, if you get a witch elf on the floor, you're just going to jump up and down on it. Whereas a wolf, it's a bit harder to. There's that extra one armor, plus the regen. It's got a chance of you invest all that into it, and then it just regens anyway, and you're like, oh, brilliant. So I think the wolf has got to go through, but I do think the witch elf deserves its little honourable mention.
I completely agree. So yeah, we can go with Wolf. Next one, massive clash of styles. Two very, very different players. A Vampire Runner against a Bloodspawn. That's not a matchup you'd see very often on a pitch.
So I looked at this and I'm not sure why. What's the selling point of Vampire Runner is? Is it just the...
Have you played against Vampires, Rob?
No, I don't think I have.
So
I'm looking at as an individual player.
Yeah, no, I understand that. And you know, obviously, one of the downsides here, you know, we're going to have to cheat and pretend it can bite a human lineman, because if it can't bite a fall, that doesn't help. But a player that can move 8 at edge 2 is already a scoring threat, so definitely got that in its locker. But it's the movement combined with the hypno gaze, being able to get into so many different places on a pitch and take away effectively the corner of a cage before you have to blitz, is just huge. And, you know, it means you can get to ball carriers so much more often than you'd otherwise be able to. Now, clearly it helps if you've got more than one hypno on the team, because you can take away both corners and go on without having to dodge. And, there's still going to be a dodge required here, because we're only going to have one of these hypno gazes on the team. But it's just such a massive skill, and basically just needs a 2+ to do it. You need a 2+ to not blood plus, and you need a 2+ to make the hypno gaze. And that's it. Whatever they've got on the corner of a cage, it doesn't matter. If it's a guard, tomb king, mummy or whatever, it's gone. It's out of the game. And you're going straight past it to get to the ball carrier. It's just a nightmare to defend against.
Yeah, but it's not Frenzy Claw Mighty Blow though, is it? I'll just delete your team and then I don't have to worry about it. I'll just delete all your fools and your vampires and I don't have too much to worry about at that point. And again, it's
remind me which nega trait the blood spawn has. Unchannel Fury.
It's 2+ to block or blitz, 4+ to move, but doesn't lose its tackle zone. It just goes, I'm too angry. So probably one of the better of those. I know a lot of people like Animal Savagery, but I like Unchannel Fury because you don't lose the tackle zone. You can just end up on its own and it's still activatable. That's a terrible
word. See, if I was going to go a big guy in here, I'd have gone for the Vargeist. I just think it's that bit better at doing the same things. I think it's higher armour than the Bloodspawn, and I think it still does most of the other things
a
bit more reliable.
And it has Bloodlust 3+, which is then...
Yeah, but you'd be blitzing with it, so it's effectively 2+, because you'd be blitzing with it.
Okay, but then the Frenzy and still having to potentially be next to your piece at the end of it. Does have regen and does have the better armor. I just think Claw Frenzy and the Mighty Blow. I'm going through your armor on an 8, and then I'm getting +1 to the injury as well. Just the removals are so much more likely. I am also very biased as I've just been hammering a team with big guys with Claw Mighty Blow, and it's just filthy.
Yeah, look, I think we're going to disagree on this one, and frankly, Rob, I don't care enough to really argue the point, so I'm going to let the Bloodspawn go through. I suspect it won't survive the next round anyway, and neither of them would, but I'm still going to leave this call thinking the Vamp Runner's the better player.
Yeah, so you have got a point, though. I think I'm more inclined to say the Vamp Runner probably does more, because I haven't played against the Vamp Runner, so I haven't seen the horrors, but I think there probably
It's only problem is survivability. It's going to die.
Yeah, but I think there's quite a few players in here that we're going to have that same argument. I'm going to say we put the Vamp Runner through, because I think the Bloodspawn can go back to a... maybe we can come back to a Battle of the Big Guys episode, and that's where the Bloodspawn can shine. So I'm putting the Vamp Runner through. So that means that the Wraith, the Werewolf and the Vamp Runner go through to the next round. So we start the
What's our first quarter final?
Our first quarter is Wraith versus Wardancer.
Now, I love that Wraith, but the Wardancer's a hell of a player.
Yeah. I mean, movement 8, blodge, strength 3, edge 2. I think there's not going to be much that's getting anywhere close to a Wardancer. And again, which one do I want on my team? I want the Wardancer every time. Great on offense, great on defense, can be a ball carrier.
Can do everything.
The Wraith doesn't have hands. It's generally more of a defensive piece. You just jam it in once it's got guard and it just blocks the lines up. I don't think there's much of a conversation here.
Right, Wardancer it is.
Wardancer, yeah. Hopefully it gets more of a challenge later, which I think we might be able to find one in this next bracket. So the next bracket is Werewolf versus Valkyrie.
The Valks are really good players. Strip ball's a great starting skill. Again, it means it's really, really useful as a player, both
pass,
sides of the ball.
Catch, dauntless, yeah. Strip.
Yeah.
It's got offense, it's got defense. Doesn't have the survivability.
It's not got claws.
Yeah. Doesn't have claws, yeah. Doesn't have the survivability, and it is marginally slower.
It's a tough one.
So I do like the Valk, but I think I'd argue that the Wolf can do more for the team. Can it though?
Yeah, we're ignoring cost here, aren't we?
Yeah, we're completely ignoring cost here.
Yeah, I think pound for pound, yeah, I'd probably argue the Valk, but overall, I think I'd side with the Wolf.
Which is weird because we've just waxed completely lyrical about the War Dancer doing all, and I think the Valk probably does more. But again, I think it's because the Valk is. A Valkyrie with two skills could probably take the whole tournament because once you've got the block dodge on a Valkyrie, there's nothing it can't do.
Not a lot a werewolf can't do if it's block dodge either.
Yeah, but I like the extra the catch and pass with two Valks, yeah. Just means you can just the pitch so much because the werewolves.
But we're not going to have two. We're going to be
no. This
should be passing
have one,
to a human lineman.
I think I take the Valk. Going off of the example of it just being human linos, I think I take the Valkyrie. It gives me strip ball to pop the ball out against most players.
Yep.
I've got the Dauntless for hitting big guys with, which is massive. And you've got the pass and the catch, means that, you know, in a pinch, but one, you can rack up SVP with the passing, is 3+ passer, which is quite nice. And then the catch as well is if you need the stretch play, and you need to just throw it as far as you can into a tackle zone. It's got catch, you've got to be well with it. I think it does more over the length of a game. The werewolf. This is also, I guess this is, how do you see the werewolf? Because I've always seen the werewolf as my offensive blitzing piece, whereas some people use it as a ball carrier. I think the point
is it can do both. It is more of a blitzing piece for me.
Yeah.
But it's a bloody good ball carrier as well.
Yeah. Well, but then Frenzy. I don't like carrying on Frenzy pieces.
Yeah. I'm less worried about that. But look, I marginally prefer the Wolf. You gave me the Vamp Runner. I'm very happy giving you the Valk. It is a, you know, it's a very tight call.
I'm going to
so
go Valk.
Let's take the Valkyrie. Yeah, let's take the Valk.
Also, Valkyrie War Dancer, I think, is a tighter conversation.
Okay.
Than cool. The Werewolf. Next up, Vamp Runner versus Jaguar Blocker. I don't know, you know. I don't think this is as straightforward as we thought it was.
So none of them are straightforward.
Jaguar Warriors are movement 6, strength 4, 3+ edge, 5+ passing, 9+ armor with defensive and dodge out the gates. And again, this is one where it's like, see, a Vamp Runner doesn't need a skill to be good. The Jaguar Blocker is still trying to get block to fill itself out or guard.
It is, but it's already hard to knock down. Dodge, you know, dodge is useful. We're not going to be playing a lot of tackle in this kind of setup. So, you know, it's a tough player to knock down. It's big, it's strong, it adds 3 as well, so it can carry really effectively. I don't think you want it carrying most of the time. I think
so
you want
it,
being, it you know, hitting and being the corner of a cage.
Play style, I think, a little bit. Because if you're looking at adding this to a human lino team, I would like the strength 4.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm leaning
the
blocker
movement.
Here.
I think the blocker, the more it develops, I think the blocker will get further away from the Vamp Runner. I think if you can have them with 2 skills on, I think the Jaguar Warrior is miles ahead of the Vamp Runner.
Probably.
I think once you put block and guard on a Jaguar Warrior blocker, it's incredible.
Yeah, but a blodge Vamp Runner is pretty good as well. But yeah, I take the point.
I like the guard defensive. Right, Jaguar Blocker's going through.
Yep.
Oh, I'm hoping so, because I think we'll probably have had some toughies, but I think this is a... Right, UW Gutter Runner versus Union Blitzer. And this is going to be tough because I think we both have bias here.
Well, these are two of my favourite players. I've played both these teams. These are both outstanding players. And frankly, I think a little bit more fun than things like the War Dancer. And there's a bit more character to them. There's slightly more unusual skills that make them, you know.
Only because it's
Or abilities.
Only because you said the Underworld's got a runner. If you said the Skaven got a runner, I absolutely disagree.
Yeah.
But with the extra choice of taking mutations, exactly. I think it does become a little bit more interesting that you've got other options to go down rather than the classic blodge, wrestle, sprint. Right, the Elven Union Blitzer. Well, we know it has block. We know it has sidestep.
Oh, beautiful.
Edge 2. Movement 7. So it's not, you know, two go for it, and it's just as fast as a gutter runner is. Strength 3, which I think is the big point here. They're both armor 9. Oh no, gutter runners are 8 plus armor.
Guns are 8. Yeah,
so it's slightly harder armor as well, 9 plus, and a 3 plus passer. I think is what a gutter runner is.
I think they're fours, but you're not passing four with plus. It. You're not. You don't need to pass with it. It's going 11 squares. You're nowhere near it.
Yeah, that's true. You're just doing handoffs, right? So it's just.
Yeah.
So they're both taking the handoff on a 2 plus. Strength 3 is better than strength 2. And the.
Yeah.
See, I'm going to. I know I've got bias, but I actually think the Blitzer is better.
I'd rather have a gutter runner on my team. I think the scoring threat is so high. Yeah. Why are Underworld the best team in the game?
Because they foul and they have star access.
And they can score. Yeah, this player is without this player they would not be the best team in the game. This completes that roster.
Yeah, but that's because that's how the roster's set up, right? Equally, you just give them any fast piece and it does the same thing. Yeah, you've got the extra 2 movement, but any movement 7 piece could do a similar job there. You put a werewolf in there, it does the same job. Put a Valkyrie in there, it does the same job. Put a war dancer, it does the same job. So it does have the extra access to the skills, but I think it's just you just want a fast movement piece is what makes that team great. Doesn't necessarily need to be a gutter runner.
Fast movement, high edge, dodge built in from the start. Hell of a player.
Yeah, it's just the removability that always... I mean, they are incredible, but it's the removability. I think long term... Until they do get that, once they're blodging, problem. But before that, very vulnerable to just getting 2 or 3 of them removed.
Union Bits is pretty vulnerable.
Well, you've got the block straight out the gates, and you've got the sidesteps.
Yeah,
yourself out of the way of getting two dice.
Gutter Runner's got dodge out the gates, so, you know, depending on what you're playing against, you both of them, you're still going down on the same number of dice.
Yeah, but then the sidestep can get you out of danger of getting hit again. And you've got armor 9 and your strength 3, so you're not going to be getting 2 diced or 3 diced as often. A gutter runner gets hit by anything, it's getting 2 diced 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've got bias. I think the gutter runner does go through, but I don't think it goes through as comfortably as most people would put it through for me.
And this would be a good one to come back to after you've actually played your Elf Union.
Yeah. Why am I typing in? It's not the Union Blitz that goes through, it's the UW Gutter Runner that goes through.
It's a 50-50 call.
I think Gutter Runners do remove some skill from the game. I just think 9 is too much. 8 is like the sweet spot, 9 is just too much. Because it means your average player on movement 6 can't even make the go for it to catch them.
So what you're saying, Rob, is it's too good a player?
No, movement 9 is too much.
Yeah,
I don't think they're as held in as much. They're held in too much esteem for what they are. I think they're overrated.
Right.
That's where I'm going.
All right.
But it does. Well,
we've put it through. Right. So we'll come back to it.
I'm going to flip it. I'm going to go the other way because I think War Dancer is a much more close fight than the Jaguar Blocker versus Gutter Runner because the Gutter Runner's going through right on that same merit.
I think it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think whoever came out of that quarterfinal was going through that. So Jackie Block is a really, really good player.
But it's not.
I think it's not quite as good as the Blitzer or the Gutter Runner.
I also think it's done well for the bracket that it's been in, because I think it goes out a lot earlier in other scenarios.
Yeah. It's just not got that game-changing potential that both of those players have.
It's a really nice utility piece, but it's not winning you games.
Not on its own, no.
No.
These others can.
Right, War Dance of Valkyrie.
I think we're going to disagree here. You're sticking Valk, aren't you?
No, I'm going War Dancer.
Oh, okay, then we're not going to disagree. It's all a really short conversation.
I do think
the best player in the game. The War Dance is the best player in the game.
Yeah, because it's Blodge Strength 3. Yeah. And we've taken cost out of it.
And it moves really, really far.
Yeah, it's got the movement. It doesn't have the movement on a Gutter Runner, but yeah, the War Dancer does go through.
It's got enough to keep up. You're not going to run away from a War Dancer very easily.
I just don't play that many Wood Elf teams to have really experienced that much. I've only played like 2-3 games versus Wood Elves. I think the more it goes on, the less Wood Elf teams I see. And I don't know why.
They have
the best player, potentially one of the best players in the game on the roster. I think they're just too expensive to fit everything in.
They're expensive and they die.
Yeah.
They just don't last. You know, you're looking for games where...
I guess
you've got to be a good player to score with 5 players.
Yeah, and I guess War Dancers, yeah, they do need to find the power or have tackle or wrestle, I guess, does the job. But like, as soon as it's on the floor, who's not jumping up and down on it?
Yeah, completely. Yeah, it's vulnerable.
Like, even if you don't have a fouling team, you're still going to jump up and down on it if you don't break armour on the hit.
Remind me of the armour on a War Dancer? Are they 8+?
Or are they up to 9? Oh, yeah. Woodies. There they go. There they are. The War Dancer is armor 8. Yeah, standard elfing. Movement 8, strength 3, edge 2+, 4+ passer, block, dodge, leap.
That's just one weakness. It is going to die.
Yeah, and at 125k, whoosh, that's expensive.
Yeah.
And does the leap do much as well? I always hear people like, "I've not played them. I haven't really played a leaping team, so I don't." Really understand how it works. It's similar to, it's just the same as jumping over a prone player, right?
Yeah,
but you can do it to a standing player,
or so over or just over a gap. So you're going into a cage, basically. Have you not played Slan?
Yeah.
So it's like that, except they're not. You do get negatives.
Slan is, yeah, because Slan just ignore all the
got pogo stick. Like, yeah, 2+
or 3+ regardless. Whereas a War Dance is not getting that benefit, right?
Leap takes away
standing players
and takes away one of the minuses. So you're going into a cage on a 4+. Generally, you're going into a cage on a 4+ with rerolls, because it's not loner. So 4+ rerollable to get a 1 dice on a ball carrier with a block piece is pretty good. Now, you don't want to do that very often, because it's armor 8 and it's going to be left exposed right in the middle for angry players who don't like its friends. Yeah, who don't like that it's hurt its friend. But it's only going to do it once, probably. Yeah, but when you need it to save a game, it's about as good as you get. That was why Slang Catcher was one of my notable exceptions, because being able to go into cages on 2s is just... really fun, but it's only strength 2. It didn't quite make it. I think the War Dancer wins that semi, wins the final.
So again, so War Dancer all the way.
War Dancer beats the Valk, beats the Gutter.
Yeah. I think War Dancer is our winner. Valkyrie versus Gutter Runner, just out of interest. Where do you sit on that one?
Valkyrie versus Gutter Runner.
Yeah.
Like, I sit in favour of the Gutter Runner. I think it's a closer call than it is against a War Dancer. It's really tight. I mean, they're both... the difference is, about there's so many different things. The Gutter Runner does one thing really, really, really well. It can be useful defensively, but not as useful. Whereas the Valk can do everything. So I can understand that's a really tight debate.
Yeah, I'm just double checking this. Is there any that I massively disagree with going back? So, Union Catcher versus Wraith. The Wraith goes through. It's fair. Werewolf is better than Witch Elf. That's an easy one. Vamp Runner versus Bloodsport. I think they're probably too different a player to really compare. I think they're both good in their own right. Wraith versus War Dancer. That's hands down. Werewolf versus Valkyrie. The thing I could argue, there's arguments for both there, but I think a werewolf, even if it goes through, still loses to the War Dancer, as everything does.
Yep. Agreed.
Vamp Runner versus Jaguar Blocker. I think these two lucked out that they've not come up against the big hitter so early. I think most, they get knocked out by most of them. I need to play against Vamps more to get a bit more of an understanding on how good Vamps are, because I've always just seen them a bit more like Slam, where it's a bit of a like gimmicky team, like they catch you out because you don't know what they're doing. But a lot of people are now saying that we've got past that like period now, and people are like, no, once people know what they're doing, they are actually horrible. Like they can do some really nasty stuff. But I think
they catch you out when you know what you're doing, because they're difficult to stop.
Yeah, like this is the thing. I think Slan can catch you out early because they're gimmicky, but once you know about Slan, you don't feel too worried about it. They can boing around, but it's not, they're not turning all your skills off and running in and popping the ball out like every other turn. Whereas Vamps are just constantly at you, and you need to know how to play against that. Slan, you can pretty much play the same way, and you just got to hope that the dice fail a little bit. You can still cage versus Slan, they're boying in, but they still need to take all the assists away, and it's probably a 1D or 2 die uphill.
And most of the Slan team dies quite quickly.
Yeah.
Whereas the Vamps, these runners are supported by other players that are strength 4 or strength 5 with good skills, including Hypnagos. A mass of them is really, really hard to defend against. I think we're right not to put one through on its own, because one Hypno is nowhere near as powerful as 4, 5 or 6 Hypnos being able to come at you.
Yeah. A Jacob Blocker, I think, is also a very good player, but it's a supporting piece rather than the like spectacle of the team.
Who wins in Jaguar Blocker versus Wraith?
Wraith. For me.
Sidestep's nice, isn't it?
Sidestep, block, straight out of the gates, and foul appearance. Foul appearance is so underrated.
Yeah.
It's a skill that no one would ever pick, like to put on a player. But when you've got players that it just comes on, it's just such a nice added bonus. It's just like, oh, you have more dice to hit me. And I always find with the Wraith, it's the worst time that you roll the foul appearances when it happens. You're like, oh, I really need to clear that out. And then you're also pretty much power fishing or defender stumbles, because otherwise it just sidesteps to an even more annoying position. I really rate the Wraith. I think it's such a good player, and it like just goes to the next level once it gets guard, and it just sits and hunkers down. And then if you've got a pair of them, oh, it's horrible. Horrible.
Yep.
So I think the Wraith outplays the Jaguar Blocker for me. But again, I've not got that tons of experience versus Amazons. I know Amazons are quite up there at the moment, especially in the tourney scene and in the leagues that we're playing. There's still a decent amount of Amazons out there, and our good friend Dom is quite a good Amazon coach, but I just don't. Obviously, you got this. So I played Norse, and I didn't enjoy Norse. And you had the starting block everywhere, and that was kind of like the whole shtick of the team. And I'm kind of thinking, if I were to play Amazons, is it just going to be the same, where they need dodge and then they just get them both down?
You do like a bashy playstyle, and
I'd be fine. They're a bit different, but I think Amazons is actually, dodge is a better skill than block there as a starting skill, because it gives you the dodge away if you don't want to get hit. The defender stumbles, keeps you on your feet, and then if they roll block and they don't have block, then you're both going down.
And just early in the league, if they face either dwarfs or chores, they're a bit buggered, but apart from that.
I don't know why they're so good. I don't know what the piece is, or is it just as a team
they're cheap?
They're really
cheap. Dodge is a really good skill. They've got some variety now in the roster. I think if you put the right skills on the blockers and the do they call them blitzers?
Well, yeah, you've got the equivalent of the Blitzers, the Pike. Are they the Pike and Warriors? Was that the thrower? I can never keep up. Piranha Warriors, that's the Blitzers, right?
Yeah.
And then the Jaguar Blockers, the Python Thrower, and whatever the Linos are, Eagles or something.
Yeah.
People.
Hit and run's pretty good. It's like foul appearance you mentioned before. I mean, you can't take it because it's a trait, but it's pretty useful. Getting you out of trouble, getting that extra piece of movement. You know, those are really good players.
It sounds like it's got some quite techie pieces to it that would be... Maybe Amazons will be a little bit further down the road, but they are starting to intrigue me a little bit.
Well, that's my stated team for the next DBL now.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to... Actually, I'm going to play Lizards, but I'm going to probably wish I played Undead within a month of that season. I really like Undead in League. Just solid.
And Lizards are a tricky start in League.
Yeah, so I'm doing the opposite, where it's like I've played lots of Undead in Tourney and not had great success, but in League, I really enjoy them. And then Lizards, I've had lots of success in Tourneys, and I'm terrified that I'm going to ruin my love for Lizards by playing them in League, where I don't have Brock everywhere and I only have 2 rerolls. But we shall see. Gutter Runner versus Union Blitzer.
And you don't have a Crocs to start either. But anyway, going back to that.
I don't mind not having the Crocs. Gutter Runner, Union Blitzer. Yeah, I think it is the Gutter Runner, just out of scoring threat and the rest of it. Can just get it done. And then, yeah, War Dance about. Straight through. Jaguar Blocker was lucky to get through. Yeah, no, I think that is it.
Cool. I'd be really interested to hear from any of our listeners about which of their favourite players we missed. I'm looking forward to receiving the James Ellis case that we definitely should have included the Goblin Fanatic or something random of that order. And let's see how our listeners make the case for their favourite player.
There is a case for future most fun players in the game.
Oh, I like that, Rob.
Maybe not. Maybe won't be a top five, but maybe a top four most fun players in the game, just for doing mad stuff. We'll probably come back to these and do more top tens, whatever. Looking at it, and see what's there. We need to rate all the big guys at some point. There's actually quite a lot of them when you actually think through it, and your different varieties as well.
And overall rosters, what's the best team? That'd be a fun one.
Oh, that's a nightmare. Absolute nightmare. We might need a couple of hours for that one. But what have we got coming up soon as well? We've got the tournament season is about to kick off. So what have you got coming up? We've got a joint one that we'll come on to in a minute.
Yeah, I'm a little bit away from tournaments. I've got this UKTC, but that's not till the summer. I've got Borac Bowl, which isn't till June, July.
It's later, isn't it? Borac Bowl is like September maybe. Time. All yours are like September, August time, by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I've not got anything in the really near future, apart from the Sevens tournament we're going to in April.
Well, I'm going to 2 in the same weekend because I'm a madman like that, taking the same team to both, I think. So we've got the Captain Oates.
Blackhawks, I assume. Blackhawks.
No, Union.
Natural Sevens team.
Typhus and Elves. So, yeah, so we're at the home of the ECBBL for Will Proctor's birthday, and then there's down in Surbiton, and there's Sevens tourney. I'm pretty sure I've been down that way before. Oh no, and not this one. This is at a geek retreat in Paddleston, wherever that is. But I'll plod down there, have a little drive down there for the Sunday. And then start of May, we've got the NAFC I'll be going to. There's a couple of guys that will be joining me up at the NAFC. So I'm doing the Sevens on the Friday night, and then that'll probably be Union again for the Sevens. And then I'm going to take Lizard Men to proper NAFC. I'm going to try and get some practice in. I'm trying to push Lizards up a little bit. I think I'm about 180 on the NAF with them at the moment. I want to try and push for 200. I think that's the best chance I've got with the race.
NAFC is definitely one on my radar for future years.
Yeah, so it sells out pretty quick, but lots of good swag and lots of pals from around the UK going, so I'm looking forward to that, and extra points because it's a NAF major, so should be good fun.
Well, that and Waterbowl are the two I've not been to yet that I really want to in the UK, in England. they're very high on my radar.
Yeah, I'd quite like to go and do Water Bowl. That's another one that's there. And then a little bit after that, we have Scab Summer Slam, which I'm super looking forward to. We'll still got to discuss rosters and get that all sorted out. What are we, Lizard Men and Renegades or Pact?
Most likely.
Looking forward to that. Also, we get to try Pact out with a Rat Ogre rather than a Minotaur by the sounds of it. So maybe
it's going to be
change my mind.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have fun.
I'm going to have to get some practice in. Right, we should probably sign off there. But any thoughts on players that we missed out or any changes that we could make to the format or how we could make it better, let us know. And I guess we'll catch you on the next episode.
Yep, jump in the Discord. We'll see you there.
Take it easy.
Cheers, all.